The Lord be with you. Samuel Shoemaker was an Episcopal priest. He lived in New York City in the early 20th century. He was known as a great preacher. But more than that, he cared about the city. He cared about the people, and he did so much to try to improve people's lives. He was a big influence on the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous and the principles they used. But later in life, he was tired. As his years in ministry continued, he felt overwhelmed, and he wondered if he could keep going. His health was getting worse. He felt discouraged. And a friend of his said, "Sam, why don't you just stop? Why don't you just give up? Just give up." Some of us here, maybe most of us here, are tired. We're tired from working long hours, from not enough sleep, from not enough time to do all that must be done. Tired from getting up throughout the night to feed a baby, maybe. Honestly, knowing some of your lives, I don't know how you keep going. I really don't. Some of us are so tired, it's hard to put it into words. It's deep, deep down in our bones. But it's not just a physical tiredness, it's more than that. It's a spiritual tiredness. It's in our soul. Why don't we just stop? Just give up. If you remember the first Sunday we opened the book of Hebrews, we learned that the preacher to the Hebrews, this congregation was tired. They were tired. They were tired of running the race of faith. They were tired of the struggle. They were tired of a culture that looked down on them. They were tired of not fitting in. They were tired of trying to pray and pray. They were tired of showing up every Sunday for worship. And they were asking themselves, why don't we just stop this? We could give up, you know. It'd be so much easier. Maybe it's not worth it. Do you know what Samuel Shoemaker said to his friend? He said, "I want to give up. I do. I want to hide. But a strange man on the cross won't let me. A strange man on the cross won't let me give up." If you're tired today, tired of running the race of faith, you're not alone. But you're here. You've showed up. We're here together. And I wonder if you're here for the same reason I am. Because a strange man on the cross won't let us give up. We can't escape him. We can't escape his love. We can't escape his call. So no matter how tired you feel, how overwhelming life gets, no matter how bad you want to give up, we can't forget Jesus Christ. And that's what the preacher to the Hebrews is telling this congregation. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to him, and you can keep running the race. But how do we do that? How? Well, that's what our scripture unfolds for us today. In verse 1, it says, "So let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly." Do you remember last Sunday, I invited you to write down a burden, something you were carrying, a sin you needed to confess. And you came forward and you put it in the waste bin below the cross. You laid it down at the foot of the cross. Did you really lay it down? Or did you find yourself this week picking it up again, holding that grudge, nursing that bitterness, that wound? What's keeping us from running freely for Christ? It's hard to run a race when we're weighed down. What do we need to lay down again? Maybe it's a burden we need to share with others that we're trying to carry on our own that we shouldn't. Let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Everything. My sister-in-law, Marley, Jana's sister, is a runner. She's a good runner. Last summer, she ran a 50-kilometer mountain race in Montana. It's 31 miles, folks. And this isn't flat. This is up and over mountains. She's serious. So I emailed Marley. I said, I'm preaching a sermon about running the race of faith. What can you tell me? Well, she reminded me that at the beginning of her race, they start in the dark because it takes all day, so they have to start while it's dark, and they have a headlamp. But Marley got lost early in the race after a few miles, and she went off the trail. She had to find her way back. She ran an extra mile or two. She was so discouraged. She knew how far she still had to go. But she kept at it, and she caught one runner and the next, and she kept going. She placed eighth out of over 100 women in this race. She knows what it's like to face an obstacle and to push through the pain to keep going. So I asked her, why didn't you just stop? Why didn't you just give up at that point? Marley said, part of it is proving the naysayers wrong. The people that tell you can't do it. Even if it's just her own voice telling her that. Don't we have those voices in our heads telling us just to give up? You know, you don't really need to go to church today. You don't need to go to worship. You have more important things to do than to open your Bible. What difference does it make if you sit down and pray? Does it really change anything? There were so many times in Jesus' life where he was tempted to give up. In the desert, the devil tempted Jesus. Jesus, I know you're hungry. You see these stones? You could just turn them into bread. The pain will go away. Jesus, are you really who you think you are? Why don't you prove it? Why don't you show me how great you can be? And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus wrestled in prayer, my Father, if you're willing, let this cup pass from me. Take this suffering away. After his arrest and trial, the Roman soldiers spit at him, they mocked him, they beat him, they stripped him. O King of the Jews, come down from your cross, save yourself if you're so great. But each time, Jesus kept running the race. He didn't give up. He didn't listen to those voices. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He didn't run away from it. He didn't let shame define him. But he endured suffering because he knew who he was deep down. He knew exactly what he was called to do. That's why he could say on the cross, "It is finished. It is finished. The race is done." Friends, don't let the world tell you what's worth running for. Remember who you belong to. Remember what you've been called to. And remember that you don't run alone. Look around. Take a moment. See who's here. These are your running buddies. These are your running buddies. We're in this race together. And let me tell you, there's more people here than you can see. Right now, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by a stadium full of saints, and they're cheering us on. They're cheering us on. They're saying, Richard, don't give up. Grace, don't slow down. Jeremy, don't stop running. Mary, don't give up hope. Keep going. Now, we didn't read chapter 11 of Hebrews, but if you go back and read it, you'll find that it's really a foundation for chapter 12. The author lists all these forerunners of the faith, these saints that have gone before us, from all the way from Abel to Enoch, down to Noah, from Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Jacob, to Joseph and Moses and Rahab. And the preachers, you get the sense he's starting to get going, right? And if you know preachers, it's hard once they get going to slow down and stop. But he catches himself. He says, well, I can't keep listing all these saints of the faith. But then he kind of does. He keeps going. He says, and there's Gideon and Samson, and there's a few more, and all the prophets. The preacher's reminding us that we're surrounded by a company of saints. This isn't just a list of names. These are the ones who have run the race. They've finished it. They've carried the baton of faith, and they've passed it down from one generation to the next generation. And friends, guess what? The baton is in our hands. We've been given the faith, and we've been called to run and to carry it on and to hand it down to those, those little runners here that we prayed for. St. Paul writes to his younger brother in the faith, Timothy, and he reminds Timothy of his cloud of witnesses. Paul writes, Timothy, I remember your honest and true faith. It was first alive in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm certain that it is alive in you now. Friends, who has handed you the faith? Think about that. Close your eyes. Take a moment. Who has handed you the baton of faith? Maybe it was a grandmother or a father or a neighbor or a friend, a mentor. Probably a lot of different people have handed you the faith. We wouldn't be here without these forerunners who've gone before. And because they ran the race, Daniel's vision is true today. People of all nations, no matter what language they spoke, worship the Son of Man. Amen? Amen. Their faith, their hope lives in us. It's in our spiritual DNA. You may not believe this, but we come from a long line of distance runners, of endurance runners. It's in our blood. We were born to run. We were born to run this race. And those forerunners have finished. They've taken their seat in the stadium of saints. But their work isn't done because they're cheering us on. They're cheering us on. But there's one runner who stands out among the crowd. One runner. Daniel says, in my vision, I saw one who looked like a son of man. He was coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the eternal God. He was led right up to him, and he was given authority and glory and a kingdom. Jesus Christ, our perfect forerunner. Friends, he not only finished the race, but he won it. He got first place, and he took his place on the podium next to the Father. Friends, the race that we're running has already been won. So our lives are kind of a victory lap. It's a victory lap when we run in Christ. We run with confidence that the race has been won, and that we just get to participate. We get to run a victory lap toward the winner, Jesus Christ. Keep looking to Jesus. He'll show you the way. He not only ran the race, he designed the course. And Jesus will lead you. Jesus will lead you. There's a tribe of people in the western mountains of Mexico called the Tarahumara. Has anyone heard of this people? They like to call themselves the Rarámuri, which means the running people, the running people. Now, these people can run. They're some of the greatest marathon runners in the world. They have great endurance. Running has been part of their culture for years and years. They have run from village to village to carry messages. They've run to hunt deer. But it's not just work for them. One visitor from the outside came and visited the Tarahumara, and he noticed that they ran with joy. They ran with joy. He said this, "Running is not a chore for them. It's just fun. I could feel their joy running alongside them. It was infectious." He couldn't help but smile as they ran. There's joy in the race. There's joy in the race. Jesus could endure the suffering because of the joy that was set before him, the joy that he was running toward. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul writes this, "We are full of joy. Even now, we're full of joy because we expect to share in God's glory. And that's not all. We're full of joy even when we suffer. We know that our suffering gives us the strength to go on. And the strength gives us character. And the character builds hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. We keep running for God's joy. We keep running for joy. And finally, we look to the finish line. We keep our eyes on the finish line. So my sister Marley told me that in the last few miles, all she thinks about is the finish line. She said the pain is getting worse and worse the further she goes, but she focuses on the finish. She knows it's not too far away. She wants to stop because it hurts so much, but she knows how much work she's put in. She knows how far she's come, and she knows she's getting close. St. Paul's second letter to his younger brother in the faith, Timothy, was likely the last letter Paul ever wrote. Paul had been put in prison by the Emperor Nero because of the preaching of the gospel. And Paul knew that he probably wouldn't make it out of prison alive this time. He knew his ministry and his life would soon be over. And he wrote this letter to Timothy. He was waiting for his own death, and he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith." Paul doesn't list his accomplishments. He doesn't say, "Timothy, now you know how well I've run. You know all the churches I've planted. You know all the people I've brought to Christ." No, Paul doesn't focus on his accomplishments. Paul didn't run a perfect race. None of us do. But Paul endured. He kept going. He never gave up. He kept the faith to the end. A friend of ours named Amanda that we knew in Ethiopia, she has worked for over 5 years with women at risk. And Amanda's also a runner. So she entered a half marathon in southern Ethiopia. And she found out that one of the greatest runners of all time was going to be there at the finish line. He's a national hero in Ethiopia, Haile Gebrselassie. The people chant, "Haile, Haile, Haile." He's a legend. He's a hero. And Amanda knew he would be at the finish line, along with her family and her friends cheering her on. And so she ran her heart out, and she got first place. And at the end, Haile put his arm around her and congratulated her. "Good job, Amanda." Friends, there's a star runner who's waiting for us. There's a star runner at the finish line. And he wants to put his arm around you and welcome you home. and say those words that will make all the struggle worth it, that will make all the endurance, all the perseverance worth it, to say those words, to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Sisters and brothers, let's run with those words in our head. Let's keep running the race. Keep our eyes on Jesus. He'll lead us home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.